how about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Jean-Le Foot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
People today can spend half their lives over 50. So it's good to be financially ready for what's important to you as you get older, like a family vacation.
Cannonball!
Or starting your dream business.
Welcome to Connie's Coffee. How may I help you?
AARP's trusted financial tools can help you plan for whatever your future holds. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Start planning today at aarp.org/moneytools.
From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big?
Ooh.
Summarize with AI in a
click. Click, click, click.
Writer's block? Release with Canva Magic Write.
Magical.
Stress less and save time at canva.com. Designed for work.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
The big news from ConnectWise at IT Nation Connect 2023 was around AI, with the launch of ConnectWise Sidekick, an AI bot across the product line. Company's CTO, Raghu Bonga, sat down with me for a discussion about their vision, how they use frameworks, and more during this live conversation recorded during that event. This is a bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Looking to make your monitoring offering premium? A way to differentiate your capabilities? How about being able to see into your clients' IT rooms with thermal imaging with 768 monitoring points combined with ambient temperature and humidity? Live and recorded video with motion detection offering better visibility than being there physically. Sentry from RF Code is the answer. Plug it in, scan the QR code, and you're done. Sentry helps you know about IT issues before your clients do. And listeners get 30% off your order of hardware and service with code MSPRadio on checkout. Visit rfcode.com/MSPRadio and ensure you're never asked why you didn't know again. Hi, Dave Sobel here with an extra bonus episode of The Business of Tech. I am talking with Raghu Bonga, who from ConnectWise, you are the Chief Technology Officer. And we're sitting here at IT Nation, and I want to dive into some of the stuff that you're up to. But first, I actually want to get a bit of the vision first. Give me a vision, give me your sense of the vision of the technology you're building.
Sure. First of all, thanks a lot, Dave, for having me here. So I think as a vision for the ConnectWise as a whole is to make MSPs' lives better. So what I mean by that is build solutions which can allow them to serve their customers faster, better, and more efficiently than today. To do that, I think we have this year focused on many initiatives which you might have seen in the announcements already. Mainly focused around hyper automation. And what is hyper automation, right? Hyper automation is a term which indicates interplay of AI and automation to automate and to perform the task which in past would have taken many hours and many minutes in a couple of seconds. So what we at ConnectWise are doing is we are taking advantage of various techniques. I know we all would have heard about AI and the AI of what it has done in 2022 and 2023. I think we are also on that same journey. We are looking at how we can take advantage of AI, everything from language models to the generative side of the AI, to the inference side of the AI, to see how we could look at everything what an MSP does on a day-to-day basis. What are the things as a technician do? What are the things as a service manager would do? What would an owner want? And we went persona by persona and looked at what can we do to make them more efficient. Like what are the things what a technician does on a day-to-day basis? What are the things we could do? What are the things we can change? What are the solutions we can provide? So which fit into their lifestyle or which fit into their work style and make them faster, easier, and better.
All right, now I want to dive into some of that AI stuff. But before I do, I have to ask the inevitable question. You guys have been working on pulling together a bunch of different technologies over the past few years. Where are we on that journey in terms of pulling all these different disparate technologies together?
I think the journey has gone very well. I think as you have seen in some of the enhancements and features what we have released at IT Nation, I think we were able to pull in, we built the, I would say, the control plane, the data plane, the domain services, the core entity services, which allow us to kind of take the repeatable tasks, what MSP does, provide a platform. So what you have seen at the IT Nation Connect, you have seen our RMM completely on the platform. Now the PSA has been now released on the platform. So everything what we are doing now, every new solution what we are bringing over the platform. So we have made a lot of progress, but that aside, I think it's a journey. There's always more things we could do better, more things we can improve on. So the journey is still in progress. I would not consider that as journey is done, but it's kind of, but it has been progressing much more faster than last year and a year before. So because of the fact that we have invested on it for last 3 years, we have laid out the foundations 3 years ago, and we are building upon that foundation. So that, now that has provided us the acceleration to bring in more and more services into the fold.
Okay, implied in the way you were talking about that, it feels like there's a rock in your shoe. What's that one thing that's really, that's the big thing that you want to overcome on that journey of pulling it all together?
Yeah, I think I would say not one, there are many many challenges, as always in any software platform. Anytime you're trying to bring in disparate systems together, you deal with a variety of situations like the databases, the data models, the data stores are different, the way the data is stored is different, the technologies they have used is different, the security models are different. In some cases, the way they have deployed is different. And where they are deployed is different. It could be in multiple clouds, on-premise, you know, variety of scenarios. I think what we have tried to do is we have liked to kind of lay out a common control plane. We have tried to we build reference frameworks based on what technology they are in and what is the target technology. We built a path to easily convert, transition, migrate based on how bad it is to the newer technology stack and to the newer target reference platform. So some cases it is very easy. Some cases it is a lot more challenging, like it might require some refactor, but it's a case-by-case decision. So what we have done is when we bring in a new platform, we look at saying that what are the aspects we want to keep, what are the aspects we want to throw away, what are the aspects which are duplicate, what are the aspects we want to refactor, what are aspects we want to re-platform and re-host. So we look at the 6 R's and say what is the right strategy for that particular application we are bringing in, and adopt that and then bring them over into the platform. So all in all, right, I mean, I would want to think that there are one or two scenarios which are unique, but every time we bring in a platform, there are new things we learn and we adapt. And over the time, it has gotten better and better. And now I think we confidently feel that any new product we want to bring into the platform, I think we have a playbook of how we want to do that.
So let's dive into some of the stuff you're doing around artificial intelligence. We were talking before we started recording that it's actually been a less than a year since ChatGPT was kind of escaped or released into the world. Talk to me about the way you're thinking about AI within the platform and within the, you know, the MSP community.
Absolutely, absolutely. So AI, like the rest of the industries, definitely has provided us an opportunity to really step back and think how we can take advantage of that for MSPs and our customers. So it was an amazing journey. So to begin with, I think one advantage ConnectWise has is we had a platform already built in. So what we have done is we have decided to bring in AI into it. So our AI platform is called Sidekick. So as part of the Sidekick, we built a ground up architecture where we can take in any LLM models, build out our domain models on it, which are specific to MSP industry. So why is that? It's important, right? We could use ChatGPT or OpenAI or Bard or any of these solutions right out of the industry. What is that ConnectWise doing differently? So what we have done differently is those are more general purpose models. Whereas what ConnectWise can bring into the mix is we understand MSPs. We have worked with MSPs for many years. We have served them and they have been partners with us in this journey. So what we have done is we have taken the large language models, added our own models on that, our own logic on that to customize them and purpose and make them purpose built for MSPs. So now, so that's from the technical side of it, right? Now, what does it do for an MSP? If I'm a technician, let's say if I'm handling thousands of tickets a day. Now, there's a pattern in those tickets in terms of the issues they might see, the problems they might trying to solve. In many cases, it's a repeat issue. Like they have, you know, some person has already solved that, you know, 1,000 times before. So what we try to do is we look at all the data and try to make them efficient. So which is when a ticket comes in, we can recommend what should be the priority of the ticket. What team is better suited to solve it? Like MSP might have like 15 teams, a team specializing on network, SP team specializing on, let's say, data. So when we look at the ticket content, we say, you know what, probably the data team is best suited to solve this issue. Okay, so this is probably the best priority you need to have, right? So we can look at a sentiment and say if the customer is happy asking for information. So if the customer is unhappy, we can raise a priority, saying that, you know what, customer is unhappy, we need to raise a priority because we want this to be taken care of first. Okay, we can look at the ticket and also recommend resolution, like based on what they have done in the past, what is available in the industry. Say if you say that, you know, I'm getting a blue screen, you know, a blue screen of death on my laptop. So in many cases, there's a prescribed steps you can take to find out what that issue is. So we recommend that, saying that these are things you should do first before you kind of go deep in, right? So, or we can also, when an issue occurs, you've solved the issue, resolved it, you only want to generate an RCA. Why did this happen? So because you see that there are repetition issues occurring, you want to create a, you know, root cause analysis. Okay, we say, you know, you can ask AI, say that generate a root cause analysis based on all that happened. So it generates a root cause analysis. So now you have solved the issue, now you want to add it to your documentation. Now, like, this is how I solved it. Now we can help you to kind of add that to your documentation, right? So these are some things as a technician you could use. Now what that would do is you almost have an assistant, MSP being the hero, you have an assistant now who can come in and help you to faster resolution of tickets. Similarly, if you are a service manager, a manager who is responsible for running multiple projects, what really concerns you? You want to make sure all your projects are on time or on budget. Want to make sure that you're focusing on right projects. Let's say if you're dealing with, let's say, 30 projects, instead of trying to focus everywhere, you want to focus your time on the projects which need most of your attention. So now what we have done is AI can tell you where to focus on. So it can tell you which projects out of your portfolio are running behind, which ones are running are running behind the schedule from a schedule perspective and from a budget perspective, which ones need your attention, which ones are going good, which ones have traditionally, based on who is leading them. You have a pattern, like some of your team members might do a great job, some of the projects are always in a problematic area. It can give you all that insights. So I can come in as a service manager and say that, tell me a summary of my projects. It can summarize and tell you where you should focus on. And similarly, I think it can help you for a marketing, if you're a marketing person, if you're a salesperson, where you should focus on your sales opportunities. If you are a person who's trying to find resources, let's say if you want a resource who has certain skill set in like next 3 days, AI can help you saying that who is best suited to solve that based on the past history. So what we have done is we have looked at what MSP has done in the past, okay, and then use that data to kind of better infer the recommendation and give it back to the MSP, irrespective of who the persona is. It could be an owner. And if you're an owner, what do you want to know, right? You would want to know that what are the opportunities I have? Where should I focus my time? You might have 100 opportunities, but all of them are not equal. You might be making, let's say, you know, 80% of your revenue from 10 opportunities. But what are those 10 opportunities you need to focus on? So those are the kind of the insights it will guide you. So as you might have seen in the keynote already, so we have around like 50 to 60 functions we have released on the Sidekick, but this is just a start. I think we have a lot cooking in coming months. So you'll see that on a regular basis. We would want to we are already looking at it, but we want to release products in this space so that we can make MSP more efficient. So the way we look at that is, I think it should save a lot of time, no matter who the persona is.
So I think it's important to get at least some sense of the model, both the general model and what you've done to train it. What can you tell me about the models that you're using? And, you know, what's the sort of general model that you built on, as well as like what you've done to give it industry specific information?
Sure, absolutely. So now we have in the case of large language models, most of our stuff has been based on Microsoft Azure AI, okay. OpenAI. Now, that being said, we are not necessarily saying that we are limited to that. Mm-hmm. As we see better better information, better language models from elsewhere, our architecture, as you might have seen already in the in the demos, allows you to plug in those. But for now, I think that's our base language models. On that, we have built our own vector databases where we can train the data based on the MSPs, information what we have, be it tickets, be it their opportunities, be it their orders. So for a particular MSP, so we do have a boundary of an MSP, which is if you're an MSP, you cannot really use the information from any other MSP. So everything what you see is based on your own history, your own activity, what you have done. Now that acts as a basis for us to make decisions. So that's kind of what we have done. There is a lot of, testing cycles like any other AI. You go to the training, testing, validation cycles, and then to make sure that the model is retrieving or model is kind of inferring the results in the way you expect it to. It's not hallucinating. So we did have to do a lot of that to kind of get to a model where it is performing for the needs. As always, there's always a scope for improve the accuracy more and more. It's never it's perfect. But that aside, it's a continuous journey, and it's at a point where I think we are very happy with the results what it's producing so far. You would see as the industry is progressing more and more towards this now. So there was a GPT-3, there was a GPT-3.5. Now there's GPT-4. It's gonna keep progressing. As that happens, we are on it to kind of take advantage of any of the newer mechanisms we have, whether it's a single model or multi-model, and that training the data, providing more context, providing more learnings, and then some of the things what we would like to do is take more and more feedback based on how we have done, and then even incorporate them into the model, and then make that much more better and efficient. So, but I think once as our customers start using it, in this case, our partners start using it, you would see that I think some of the tasks will take much more lesser time than before.
Implied in your answer is some of the decisions you've made about the boundaries for the models,
sure,
right? So
sure.
You've got to make decisions around what's mm-hmm. hallucination, what's not. Mm-hmm. But implied in that is also some of the framework of decisions around ethics,
sure,
around the boundaries.
Ugly.
Talk to me about your approach and where you're thinking about frameworks and how you're applying that to your implementation.
Absolutely. As we have shown in the demos, I think a responsible AI is very important for anyone who is building the AI models. So ConnectWise has released a responsible AI statement earlier in the year. Okay, everything what we are doing, we are abiding by that. We have an AI committee internally inside of ConnectWise, and that AI committee reviews every model we built and every application we built to make sure that I think we have considered all aspects of the AI. Our AI committee includes our info security, our legal department, our marketing department, obviously our product department, engineering department. So pretty much it has like a wide breadth. So now so that kind of allows more checks and balances, lack of a better term. Okay, and so those are from a process and a policies perspective. And the architecture layer in the code, or on our architecture and design, we built a trust wrapper. That's what we started calling it internally. So the trust wrapper, you can call it as a governance layer. It is responsible for certain aspects like transparency, privacy, compliance, data security, data lineage, data segregation. So there are different aspects of it. Now, each of those aspects, some of them are more like a practice as we follow through code review. Some of them are hard boundaries set in the architecture that there's no way for you to kind of get any other, let's say, partner's data. For example, those are hard boundaries set through databases, like saying that if a partner, for no matter what, a partner say data cannot, cannot be kind of seen by partner B. We have we almost have hard boundaries in the data layer for that. So we do have that. And obviously in our APIs, we do have that hard boundaries based on the access tokens we use. That access token is only valid for that particular partner. So that way we assure that the data cannot be used. In case of things like transparency, it's like it's more goes through with our communication, saying that what we have used, what models we have used, how we have used it, what kind of data we have used. So all of that is kind of put in a schema registry so that we can publish to any of our customers who would like to see how we have done it. Okay, and similarly on compliance and security, we follow our security team has done a great job in terms of coming up with how to kind of making sure that our AI models are secure. So they do things like penetration testing, they do a variety of things like threat models to see whether if there's a risk. So we have run through all that to make sure anything we produce is compliant with our AI responsible use statement. But that aside, this is a space where we are going to see a lot of automation in next few years, because this is right now, I think anything of that is a little bit manual and a little bit much more rigorous. Okay, the rigor is required, but you're going to see a lot more automation, a lot more platforms coming in to make this easier. And this becomes the baseline for anyone who's doing the AI models in the industry.
So I think the sort of last question there is what, as you've spent all this time thinking about those frameworks, thinking about the governance, thinking about the ethics of that, what's the bit that your customers, the MSPs themselves, need to think about themselves in order to fill in the rest? Because obviously they're using it, they're doing it. There's some open questions. What are the ones that you think they need to be addressing to be effective here?
Yeah, I think so. First thing is when we bring in a change, or when the industry goes through a change, there's always a concern. And concerns are valid in many cases. I think there's a two sides of the coin, where in some cases, I think you can say the trailblazers who are like jumping on the new things, latest and greatest. At the same time, we do have customers who are more conservative, rightfully so, to make sure that I think we are doing the right thing. So the things I think which are very important is in case of ConnectWise AI, we have made sure that any of the data, what we use is not going to be used. Any data for MSP is not going to be used to train any public models. So that's very important, right? If a customer's, in my case, MSPs, if they are using AI, so they need to understand the boundaries of that, whether the data what they are putting in is going to be trained in a public model. Because we had incidents where, in some cases, data going to ChatGPT, questions asked in ChatGPT were actually used for training. So we have made sure that doesn't happen. So one of the reasons why we have used Azure OpenAI is that Enterprise Azure OpenAI is that the data what we use there is not going to be used for public models, right? So, and internally, on that, the domain models what we are building, our customers need to understand based on where they are using it or whom they are using it from, how they have kind of put those boundaries, mainly from data protection perspective, okay? And coming for their own teams, they need to look at what kind of information goes in each of those entities, who has access to those entities, okay? Now, because and that would kind of help make sure that their employees are getting access to the right information and not necessarily working around the boundaries, okay? So those are from a protection perspective. But the things what they need to think from is they need to look at everything they do today and question saying that, can they make it efficient? Can they automate it? So it might be surprising to see that in many cases the answer would be yes. Okay, so it's not, in some cases it might not just be AI. It might be use of AI plus RPA plus workflow, as an example, to automate something, which is AI can infer something. Based on that, you can use RPA and workflow to automate that task. So even in the AI as an industry, lot of the industry right now is using AI for the most part to understand the data. So you can call that as a descriptive side of the AI, which is you're trying to just understand what's going on, how are my projects looking, things like that. And the next step of the journey would be predictive, which is it looks at your data and say that, based on your history, these projects will always go wrong. Even though they have not gone wrong yet, it is predicting that they might go wrong. They might say that, okay, based on this trend, you might get 300 tickets today, because every Wednesday I see that you always get more tickets. So it predicts what the outcome would be, so that you can plan it better. That's the second phase. And then there's a third phase, which is a prescriptive, which is, it says, you know what, you're going to get more tickets today, which means I'm going to get few more folks assigned to this projects. So AI makes a decision, comes to you for an approval. Or same way, like you look at invoices. For example, in descriptive phase, you say that, you know what, these are 5 customers who are never paying the bills. Okay, never paying the payments. In predictive, it might say that, you know what, these customers might not pay. They're fine, but they might not pay. It's predicting. In prescriptive, it might say that, you know what, oh, in this case, if a customer is not paying, we have a good relationship with the customer. You know what, we give you a 10% discount on the invoice. And it comes to you and say that you want to approve it. So I think there's a phases of it. So what I would say is, I think MSPs should take a step at a time. First, the journey, it's a journey. First, they need to take a step at a time where they kind of use AI first to infer, understand it, understand their patterns, understand their workflows, understand how it can help, and move to the predictive and to the prescriptive. And at each stage, they're going to see exponential gains in productivity.
Well, there's the roadmap laid out. Thanks for joining me. This has been a great conversation.
Thank you, Dave, for having me.
Did you know that 95% of cybersecurity issues stem from misconfigurations, often caused by human error? That's where LionGuard comes in. Their industry-leading configuration change detection and response platform automatically documents your systems, enabling you to stay ahead by alerting you to any changes. You can also audit and assess user accounts, reconcile billing, and continuously enhance your customer's cybersecurity posture. This also helps you maintain defensibility for cyber insurance and compliance. Curious to learn more? Just head over to LionGuard.com/MSP Radio and discover how LionGuard can make a difference. The Business of Tech is written by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. This episode was edited and produced by Picture This Video. If you like the content, please make sure to hit that like button and follow and subscribe. It's the free and easy way to support the show and help us grow. You can also check out our Patreon, where you can join the Business of Tech community at patreon.com/MSP Radio, or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. Finally, if you're interested in advertising on the show, visit mspradio.com/engage. Thanks for listening today, and I will talk to you again on the next episode of The Business of Tech.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.
From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.